Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our Erev Shabbos Pirkei Avos Shir Learning. Tonight's Shir is generously sponsored by my dear friend, Laura Huberfeld. Laura and I started learning sometime within the last year. A mutual friend made the Shir between us, and Baruch Hashem, we are continuing to learn together. And Laura, we really appreciate the sponsorship tonight. We are learning as a Zchus Refuah Shleima from Moshe Aaron ben Rivka and Rivka Bas Sarah. May they both be Zorcha Terachem Yishamayim and Refuos Bekarov in the Zchus of the Torah that we will share together this evening. So I'm going to continue, not the same Mishnah, but I do want to continue a little more about the life of Hillel. Last week we gave a historical approach and elucidation and review of the life and the times of Hillel HaZaken, just to understand when we quote the Tanaim and then later the Amoraim, who are we speaking about? When did they live? What did they experience? What was the time period like? And that was last week's Shir, historical Shir, and I thought it was very, very interesting, and I hope that you agreed. So I'm going to go in Pirkei Avos to another Mishnah of Hillel's teachings. We spent a lot of time, we've been spending a lot of time on Hillel's teachings, and now the Mishnah tells us in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Beis, Hillel Omer, Hillel teaches. Excuse me, a very famous Mishnah that I'm sure you are aware of. Hevei mi talmidav shel Aharon. You should perhaps, one of the more famous Mishnahs from Pirkei Avos. Hevei mi talmidav shel Aharon. You should be from the students of Aharon. Ohev shalom, you should love peace. Virodev shalom, you should pursue peace. Ohev esabrios, you should love creations, creatures, umakarv on the Torah, and you should bring them close to Torah. So this is one of Hillel's teachings. And Rav Sham Sharfal Hirsch on this Mishnah says as follows. In the book, it says, first of all, Hillel begins by saying you should be of the students of Aaron. And that's noteworthy. And later in the Shir, I'm going to explain that. He doesn't just say, Hillel could just say, Ohev Shalom, Virodev Shalom, Ohev Esabrius, Umakarv on the Torah. Is that not the same message? Why does Hillel need to say you should be of the students of Aharon? So, Rav Sham Sharfal Hirsch says, in the book of Malachi, Perek Beis Pasuk Vav, it is said of Aaron, B'shalom uv'mishar halach iti, v'rabim heishiv me'avon. Hashem says about Aaron HaKohen, he walked with me in peace and uprightness and brought many back from sin. A description to which the characterization given in this Mishnah corresponds. So because Aaron walked with the Ribbono Shel Olam b'shalom, with peace, with b'mishar, and on the straight path, he walked with God, rabim heishiv ma'avon, he was able to return many from sin. What does it mean? An Ohev Shalom passively loves peace. Rav Sham Sharfal Hirsch says, by the way, Rav Hirsch's Yartzeit was this past Monday. Zchuso Yagen Aleinu. A Rodev Shalom is more than an Ohev Shalom. The lover of peace, says Rav Sham Sharfal Hirsch, merely avoids whatever may endanger peace. He avoids it. But the Rodev Shalom actively does whatever he can to restore peace that has already fled. So it's a different degree of seeking peace. The Ohev Shalom loves peace, but he's not going to do anything to run after it. The Rodev Shalom will actively seek to restore peace that has fled. He will be ready to make whatever sacrifice he can for the sake of peace. Except that, of course, under any circumstances, he will not compromise his loyalty to God. So therefore, makarv on the Torah, he's always going to remain close to Torah and bring others close to Torah, but he will go to whatever lengths he can to not only love peace, but to actively pursue peace. What does it mean, ohev esabrios, to love creations? Literally, says Rav Hirsch, creatures. It is a term embracing all of mankind without distinction. He loves all men because they are creatures of God. So when we understand and internalize that B'Tzelem Elokim Nivra HaAdam, that humanity was created in the image of God, yes, Chaviv Yisrael, but humanity was created in the image of God, we will embrace this teaching of Hillel, who talks about Aaron, you should be of the students, you should passively love peace, Rodev Shalom, you should actively pursue and restore peace when it has been lost. Ohev Esabrios, this term embraces all of mankind, without discrimination, simply because people are made in the image of God, the makarv on the Torah, and through loving people. That's how you bring people close to Torah. I read that insight many years ago. Note the order of the Mishnah. By loving peace, pursuing peace, and loving people, they will naturally be drawn to a Torah way of life. When they see how you behave with such a love and tranquility and peaceful ways, they will want to embrace your life as well. And it is not an accident that it is Hillel, the Hillel who we have been speaking about his teachings for a month and a half now, at least 6 weeks. We explored Pirkei Avos, Mishnah, Perek Beis, Mishnah Hey in great detail. Then we spoke about the life of Hillel Hazakin. And here we have another teaching of Hillel, and he admonishes us about the importance of Shalom, the importance of Ahava, going to all lengths to ensure that there is peace, and therefore that is the way you bring people close to Torah. So I want to quote from the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Lamed Aleph Aleph. It really actually begins, the first four words of the Mishnah, of the Gemara beginning Lamed, Amad Beis, Masechta Shabbos, but quickly, the main whole entire body of the story is on the next Amad. So, Maise B'Shnei B'nei Adam. There was a story with two people. Shahimru Zeh Etzeh. These two people made a bet with each other. What was the bet with each other? Amru, they said, whoever can go and annoy, provoke Hillel, yitol arba meos zuz. They made a bet. Today people make bets. They made a bet. In sports season, people make bets. I don't know. They fill in boxes. By the Super Bowl, people make bets. So they made a bet. They made a bet. Whoever can go and annoy Hillel, yitol arba meos zuz. He will take 400 zuz from the other one. Amar achad mehem. One of them said, great deal. Ani aknitenu. I'm going to provoke Hillel. Also, Hayom Erev Shabbos. A lot of stories happen with Hillel on Erev Shabbos. Remember, we spoke about Maseches Yuma, Lamed Hey. He goes up to the skylight. It's Erev Shabbos because the next day they find him and they say it's worth it for such a person to be Mechal Shabbos. So again, also Hayom Erev Shabbos Haya. Okay. So we know Erev Shabbos is a hectic time. It's a pressured time. It's a rush time. Maybe not in your house, but in many homes, we're all rushing to the deadline, especially in the winter months when the day is so short. The Hillel chafaf es rosho. Remember we said Hillel took care of himself. Remember last week we spoke about the fact that he said it's a mitzvah to wash yourself. It's a mitzvah to eat. Person who serves the king has to be appropriate to serve the king. So Hillel was washing his head. The Hillel chafaf es rosho. He's washing his hair for Shabbos. Halach v'avar al pesach beso. And this guy goes and he passes by the entrance of Hillel's house. And he calls out, Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel. Is there a Hillel here? Is there a Hillel here? And Rashi says, "Klum kan Hillel v'loshon gnai lenasi Yisrael." It was a disparagement. It was a gnai. Remember last week we said they appointed him as nasi. Klum kan Hillel. That's how you call him. Is there anyone here but Hillel? V'loshon gnai lenasi Yisrael. He wouldn't go to the house of the gadol dor and call him by his first name. So it's a disparagement. So even the way that he addresses him is a disparagement. There's a story told over in the biography of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, written by Hanoch Teller, that his nephew once wrote him a letter and he put all kinds of titles before his name, Rosh Kebahag, Rosh Kol B'nei Hagola, and Haga'on, and Rabbi V'mori, Harav, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Shlita, so Shlomo Zalman said, you think the mail carrier needs to decipher all the honorifics you're putting on the envelope? Just write my name and it's enough. I'll get the mail. So the man comes and it's a gnai. Rashi said in the Gemara, he's disparaging Hillel. He should call him with some sort of honorific term. Kavod Harav, Nasi Yisrael. What does he say? Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel. Is there a Hillel? Is there a Hillel here? Nisatef v'yatza the crow. So Hillel wrapped himself. He puts on his cloak and he goes out to meet him. Amar lo, and he said, Nan, I'm so rushed. I'm doing my hair. It's Erev Shabbos. What are you doing? Bini, my son. Ohev shalom v'rodev shalom. Ohev esabrios. Umakarv on the Torah. Bini, my son. Ma atam evakesh. What are you seeking? My son has showed me that when he's in touch with his Rebbe, it's really interesting. His Rebbe addresses him tzaddik. No tzaddik, the test is in Friday, the test is on Tuesday. Of course, tzaddik, whatever you need. Unbelievable. Nisatef yatzeh l'kro. So Hillel goes out, he stops washing his hair, and he says, Bini, my son, ma'ata mevakesh, amar lo. So the person said, She'elo, yesh li l'sha, I have such an important shayla. I've heard Rabbi Shai Shechter say, I believe, I forget which Rav it was, who gave smicha, And when he gave smicha to his Talmidim, he said there are three conditions. If you ever break these conditions, your smicha is revoked. I don't remember the other two, but here's one. And it's stuck in my mind. You're never allowed to make early Shabbos. Why are you never allowed to make early Shabbos? As the Rav of a community, you're going to move somewhere and people depended on you for Shabbos up till the last minute it could be. And if you make early Shabbos because you want to start Shabbos earlier, your kids are hungry, or you have little ones, you want to put them to bed, they can't stay up, so that person won't be able to ask a Shaila. So one of the three conditions was you're never allowed to make early Shabbos. So the man says, I have a Shaila for you. She'eli li'ei shili li'shal. It's Erev Shabbos, I have a Shaila. Amar lo sha'al b'ni sha'al. So Hillel said, wonderful, my son, ask your Shaila. You know, maybe it's a Shaila about putting up the fire, or maybe it's a Shaila about the kitchen, or maybe it's a Shaila about the fish, it's a kosher, does it have the signs, is the shekling properly? No. Mipnei ma rashen shel bavlim sigalgalos. Why are the heads of the Babylonians so round? Amar lo. And Hillel said, Bini, my son, she'ela gedola she'alta, you have asked such a gemshmak question. Art scroll footnote notes, although the person's question was trivial, Hillel nevertheless treated it with respect. His practice was never to dismiss any question as unimportant, for he did not wish to discourage people from approaching him. So he says, what a good question. Mipnei she'ein lahem chayos pikichos. They do not have midwives that are skilled, so the Babylonians' heads are round. Halach vihimtin sha'achas. The person went away, and he waited sha'achas. So we literally translate as 1 hour. Our school's translation is he waited a little while. Chazar, he came back to Hillel's house. Va'amar, and he called out, Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel. Is there anyone here named Hillel? Is there anyone here named Hillel? Nis'atef v'yatzo l'kraso. Hillel wrapped himself up, and he went to meet him. Amar lo, and he said, not why are you back here, I just dealt with you. Bini, my son, tzaddik. Ma'atam v'akesh. What are you asking? Amar lo, she'eli, yesh li l'shel. It's good you didn't make early Shabbos. I have a question to ask you. Ah, amar lo, sha'al, bini, sha'al. Hillel said, ask, my son, ask. Why are the eyes of the Tarmodians especially round? Wow, my son, you ask such a good question. They live by the chol. They live in sandy terrain, so their eyes are very round. The guy leaves. He waits another hour, or according to Art School's translation, he waits another little while. Chazar, he returns. Va'amar, third time, Erev Shabbos. Why do the Babylonians have round heads? Why do the Talmudians have round eyes? Hillel is trying to take a shower and get ready for Shabbos. I mean, okay, I know I'm not allowed to make early Shabbos, or the smicha's revoked, but seriously, that's for important shaylas. Is this what you bother the Rav with on an Erev Shabbos? Chazar va'amar, he returned and he said, Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel. Is Hillel here? Is Hillel here? Nis'atef v'yatza l'kraso. He wrapped himself up and he went to meet him. Amarlo. This is an example of being a rodef shalom to the extreme. When perhaps anybody else would chase the person away with a broomstick, Hillel actively pursues to maintain shleimus and shalom within himself, by the way, between him and his fellow men. And this, says Hillel in the Mishnah, is how you bring people closer to Torah. Tzaddik, the test is in Friday. The test is on Tuesday. Bini, she'ela gedola sha'alta. So Hillel wraps himself and he goes out. Amar lo, and he says, Bini ma tam evakesh. If you note the Lashon of the Gemara, Hillel's responses are the same after each scenario. So the degree of love and patience that he maintains never wavers. It does not diminish. Bini ma ta mevakesh, my son, what would you like? Amar lo she'ela li'esh li lishol. I know it sounds redundant. It is. Go look it up. Masechta Shabbos, Lamed Aleph Aleph. I have a question to ask you. Amar lo sha'al bini sha'al. And Hillel says, ask, but now I would have locked the door and took off the ring doorbell and moved the car so nobody knows that I'm home. Ask, my son, ask. Mupnei mara glehem shal afrikim rechovos. Why are the feet of the afrikaim so wide? Amarlo, and Hillel said, Bini she'ela gadola sha'alta. You ask such a good question. Mipnei shadarin bein bitzei hamayim. They live in the swamplands, so they need wide feet. Amarlo, the man said, she'elos harbi yesh li lish'ol. I have a lot of questions to ask. U'misyare ani shema tich'os. I'm worried. Maybe you're going to become angry with me. Nis'ateif. Hillel wrapped himself, v'yashav lefanav, he sat down before him. Amar lo, and he said, kol she'elos she'yesh lecha lish'ol sha'al. Whatever question you want to ask me, ask. Amar lo, so the guy says, atahu Hillel, are you Hillel she'korin oscha nisi Yisrael? Are you Hillel that they call the Prince of Israel? Amar lo hein, he said, yes, that is I. Amar lo, the man said, im atahu, if you are he, lo yirbu kemoscha b'Yisrael. You know we say kein yirbu? Lo yirbu kemoscha b'Yisrael. There should not be anyone else like you. There should not be more like you. Amar lo, Hillel said, b'ni mipnei ma. Why would you say that? Amar lo, the man said, mipnei she'ibadati al yadcha, Arba meo zuz. Because of you, Hillel, I just lost 400 zuz. Amar lo, Hillel said, Hevei zahir biruchacha. A person should be very on guard with their spirit, with their personality, with their disposition, is the art scroll world word. Kedaihu Hillel shetabed al yado arba meo zuz, va'arba meo zuz, ve'hillel lo yakpid. Hillel is worth your losing on his account 400 zuz and even another 400 zuz. But Hillel will not take offense. Hillel will have his disposition. How do you pronounce the word? Equanimity? Am I saying it right or wrong? I'm saying it right. Okay. He will maintain his disposition. Why does he say 400 zuz and another 400 zuz? So the art scroll footnote says, quoting the Maharsha, as the loser of the bet, the person not only failed to gain 400 zuz, but he also had to pay 400 zuz to his partner, the bet's winner. So in a sense, you could say that he lost 400 zuz. So the degree of Ahavas Yisrael, and this is the same daf in the Gemara, when Hillel, the convert, goes to Hillel and Shammai pushes him away, and Hillel brings him close, teach me Torah upon one foot. How did Hillel bring people closer to Ahavas Torah, Yiras Shamayim, Umakarvon the Torah? Because Hillel understood what it means to be of the students of Aaron, to love peace. It's not enough to actively pursue peace, to love people, and to bring them closer to Torah. I'm going to quote from the Hani Machlis biography, Hani Machlis, Allah HaShalom. And if we think that Hillel's level is beyond people of our generation, it's not. There are greats in our generation and in our times who are able to accomplish such a degree of self-control that stems from such a love of other people and recognizing everyone is created in the image of the divine. They reach such a degree of tikkun hamidos that they're able to bring people closer to Torah through their behavior. A homeless man in his 60s named Eliyahu lived at the Kotel. He had two chairs, one to sit or sleep on and one for his bags. He dressed in raggedy, dirty shirts and trousers and an old black coat. After many invitations, one weekday, Eliyahu agreed to come home with Rabbi Machlis for supper. Eliyahu felt comfortable in the Machlis home. After that, he often came for supper. He would often sleep over. Eliyahu was a very religious man. He always quoted passages from Torah and Talmud. The verse he loved to quote the most to Henny was, Aye Sara Ishtacha, Hine Ba'ohel. Where is Sara, your wife? Perikir Chesem Reisha. She's in the tent. The sages consider this a high praise for Sara Imenu. She was Tsanua, he says Rashi. She was always in the tent. Sometimes Eliyahu would arrive at the Machlis home and Henny was not there. When she would return, he would chastise her. Where were you? You're supposed to be Ba'ohel. You shouldn't leave the house. What if people come and you're not here and they're hungry? Hanny would apologize. Eliyahu would say, I don't care if you're sorry. You're supposed to be ba'ohel. Eliyahu developed a special liking for Hanny's whole wheat pizza. And by the way, to the best of my recollection, the first time I heard this story was not in this biography when I read it. Rabbi Machlis related this at Hanny Alah Hashem's Levaya. Eliyahu developed a special liking for Hanny's whole wheat pizza. It was his favorite food. Eliyahu kept no regular hours, and often he didn't show up for supper till late at night. Rabbi Machlis used to tell him, you have to come by a certain time, like 1 a.m. is the cutoff. So I'm not talking about Hil Hanasi. I'm talking about our time. Someone who lived in our day and age. Some of us may be new. You have to come by a certain time, Rabbi Machlis. 1 a.m. is the cutoff. Eliyahu would respond, I can't commit. I have a lot to do. Hanny came up with a solution. She taught Eliyahu how to make his own holy pizza. Anytime you come to my house, you can make your own pizza. The ingredients will be in the refrigerator. I will leave the front door open. Tzaddik, the test isn't on Tuesday, it's on Friday. It's actually the opposite. Bini. Sha'al, Bini, Sha'al. It worked for several weeks, and one night at 3 a.m., there was a knock on Hanny and Mordechai's bedroom door, which was totally off limits. Mordechai woke up. What emergency could there be? He opened the door to the bedroom, and there was Eliyahu. Do you know what time it is, Mordechai said? There's food in the kitchen. Help yourself. I don't want food. I want her to teach me how to make whole wheat pizza. I'm quoting from the book. I forgot how to do it. Mordechai said, at 3 o'clock in the morning, you need to remember how to make whole wheat pizza? By this time, Hanny was also awake. This guy's insane, said Mordechai. I'm going to throw him out. Mordechai, she said, this is a test. It's from Hashem. I will get up and I will teach him. Mordechai was irate. But Hanny, you're indulging him in the wrong behavior. Tell him he's wrong. Tell him to get out of here. Why did the Afrikanim have wide feet? Why did the Babylonians have wide heads? Why did the Tardamoins have round eyes? Jewish thought frames reality according to three elements: time, place, and person. 3 o'clock in the morning was the wrong place, was the wrong time. The bedroom was the wrong place. But this homeless pauper to Hanny was not the wrong person. Ohev es habrios, without discrimination, because they are created in the image of God. Hanny would neither scold him nor turn him away. I don't mind, I will teach him again. She got dressed, she came out, and she taught him how to make whole wheat pizza. How did she do it? How was Hanny, writes author Sari Yocheved Rigler, right? Yeah. How was Hanny able to look at people who were so broken, people who were hostile, and see the divine image? How is it possible, Ohevis Abrios? I know Ohevis at Tzadikim, fine. Everyone could love the Tzadikim. Rabbi Machlis explained she was a visionary. She looked beyond what was visible externally. She looked at problematic people and she saw who they could be. Before plastic surgery, Rabbi Machlis says, the doctors show people what they'll look like after surgery. Hanny had that kind of mind. She could see the potential within the person. I'm going to quote one more excerpt from this biography. It's a gray box. The gray boxes, if you haven't read this, you really should. It's Art School Amunah with Lav and Chicken Soup. The gray box are Hanny's Torah teachings. They were verbatim and they were transcribed into the biography. So Hanny taught, quote, I don't view the world as people who are good people and people who are not good. People who are successful and people who are not successful. Because in 1 minute, that can turn around. I read somewhere, a person's life is like a book. Each year of life is a chapter in the book. Let's say you meet someone who's 20 and you think he is a lowlife. Let's say you take a book off the shelf. You rip out the first 19 chapters. You think you understand the story? If you rip out the first 19 chapters, you think you know anything about this person? Only if you read the first 19 chapters can you understand the 20th chapter. Once you start using this model, you will not refer to that person as a lowlife because you don't know what you're talking about. Read the whole book. Everyone who walks into our home, said Hanny, who are these people? You don't know them. You can't judge them. because you never read the book. That was Hillel's principle in life. Hillel says you should be like Aaron HaKohen. Ohev shalom v'rodev shalom. Ohev esa brios u'makarvon l'Torah. And Rav Shamsher Falher says brios is literally creatures. It is a term that embraces all of mankind without distinction. To be of the student of Aaron and go in the ways of Hillel is to love all men simply because they are creatures of God. Even if it's Erev Shabbos, and even if you're trying to wash your hair, and even if the questions are ridiculous, and even that's not why you're not supposed to never make an early Shabbos. Nevertheless, B'ni She'ela Gedola She'alta, my son, Tzaddik, wow. And at the end, Hillel sits before him. He takes a seat in front of this guy. There's nudnik, there's annoyance. And he says, ask me whatever you want. It's a test, said Henny. I'm going to get up and I'm going to show him how to make whole wheat pizza. Now, I don't know. I'm not on this madriga. I don't know if anyone else, I don't mean that insultingly. Maybe there are some of us who are on such a madriga. But we have to have the highest ideal in mind. And it's something that we have to strive, that we know it's a possibility, that we know such a madriga exists, that we know that to love people and pursue peace is one of the highest ideals. One of the names of the Ribbono Shel Olam is Shalom. And to embrace this attitude and to strive on our level, however we can, to reach such a degree of behavior, to change ourselves in whatever increments we can. It's an avoda. It's a hard work. But even in our generation, it can be done. So I said I was going to address the question of why does the Mishnah begin with Hevemi Talmidav Shel Aaron? Hilo Omer, Perak Av Mishnah Yad Beis, once again, Hevemi Talmidav Shel Aaron. You should be of the students of Aaron. And he doesn't say, now we know Aaron was, yes, the epitome, the Bechina Shalom, but Hilo could just say, Ohev Shalom V'ro Dev Shalom, Ohev Esabril Su Makarvon LaTorah. Wouldn't it be the same message? So I heard this question posed by Rabbi Shai Schechter, and he getting on in the same shir when he was talking about smicha, and he gave the following answer. He said, in a machlokes, or usually when there's two sides, each side is not only fighting for the truth of the matter, but they're fighting for their own ego. They're right. Their way is the right way. You're fighting for yourself, your honor, not only the honor of Hashem. Aaron was concerned about one thing. He wasn't concerned about himself. He was concerned about bringing people closer to Ribbono Shel Olam. He was concerned about instilling Shalom. What's the Birkas Kohanim? How does it end? Aaron and all his descendants after him. They end with the word Shalom because that was the essence of who Aaron was as a person. He wasn't fighting for Aaron. He was fighting for Hashem. He wanted to bring people closer to God. It didn't matter if he was right or if he was wrong. What matters is the absolute emes of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem who is emes, Hashem who is Shalom. And so Aaron removed himself. He negated himself in order to love peace, pursue peace, love people and bring them closer to Torah. So what does Hillel tell you? If you really want to be Ohev Shalom and Rodev Shalom, you need to self-negate. You need to, I don't mean make yourself into Shmata, that's not what I mean. You need to remove your ego from the situation. And sometimes that's really required in order to make peace. Hillel could have said, listen, I'm the Nasi. They're Joe Shmo. I understand you have Shilas and you can bring them to me, but it doesn't have to be Erev Shabbos when I'm trying to wash my hair. I'm Hillel. You're a nobody. No. Hillel said, what do you need to ask? Your Shilas is as important as the Basar B'chalav I had before you. You need to remove yourself and your ego like Aaron if you really want to be successful at loving peace, pursuing peace, loving people, and bringing them closer to Torah. It's not about Aaron. It's not about Henny. It wasn't about Hillel. It's about what's best for the creations of the Ribbono Shel Olam and what's best for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And how can I bring Shalom and how could I increase Ahava? Hevei mi talmidov shel Aharon. Remove your own negius. Forget that you're no gay b'davar, which is almost impossible for the masses. But that's what Hillel says. And when you can remove your ego, then truly you can love peace, pursue peace, love people, and bring them closer to Torah. I want to end, start to end, by quoting the Gemara Maseches Erevin, Yud Gimel Amud Beis. And here we have a maisa related, a teaching related in the Gemara, not about Hillel and Shammai, but about Beis Hillel, the Talmidim of Hillel, and the Talmidim of Shammai. Remember, we learned last week in our history course that Hillel and Shammai themselves had hardly any machlokas l'shem Shammai between the two of them, because Torah was still being given down Shabbat Peh in a pristine form. It was their Talmidim, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, who had machlokas l'shem Shammayim later, after them. So here we go. The Gemara says in Maseches Ervin, Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Abba says in the name of Shmuel, Shalosh Shanim Nechluku Beis Shammai Ubeis Hillel. For 3 years, Beis, okay, the students of Shammai and the students of Hillel had a mechokas, they debate each other. Halalu amrim halacha kemoseinu, vehalalu amrim halacha kemoseinu. Each one said, the halacha is like me. Beis Hillel says, the halacha is like us. And Beis Shammai says, the halacha is like us. Yatza baskova amra, a heavenly voice came out and proclaimed, Elu, famous, Elu ve'elu divre elokim chayim hein. These ones and these ones are the words of the living God. Ba'alacha ke Beis Hillel. But the halacha is like Beis Hillel. So shalosh shanim nechluku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, the students of Shammai, the house of Shammai, the students of Hillel, the descendants, spiritual descendants of Hillel. They're arguing for 3 years. Everyone is saying the halacha is like me, and this one's saying no, the halacha is like me. And finally, after 3 years, a baskol comes out and says, you're both right. Elu ve'elu, famous Ma'amar Chazal, here it is. You're both right. However, you know who's really right? Hillel's really right. You're both right, but Hillel's right. So the Gemara says, V'chi me'achar she'elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. By the way, it's interesting, because if you remember the story from Maseches Yuma, Lamed Hey, when Hillel climbs up to the roof, because he doesn't have money to get into the Beis Medrash, he says he wants to hear Divrei Elokim Chayim from Shmaya and Avtalion. It's the same terminology used to refer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He climbs up because he wants to hear Divrei Elokim Chayim, and here the Baskol comes out and says, Elu ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim hein. You're both correct when it comes, so these are both the words of the living God, but Hillel is really right. So v'chime achar she'elu ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, once you tell me that they're right and they're right, so why was Hillel Zocha that the halacha was established like him? If Beis Shammai is room to be right and Beis Hillel is room to be right, they're both right. So why do we go after Hillel? Nochin, like from Noach. They were more at rest, like the word Noach, as our will translate, easy. What does aluvin mean? Rashi says on the Gemara, savlanin, from savlanut. They were forbearing. They were patient. They were tolerant. Says Rashi, Savlanin. That's why Hillel was right. Because, not because he knew more halacha than Shammai. Not because the way he paskin was more correct than Beis Shammai. Because Beis Hillel was nochin ve'aluvin. Noach, easier. More at rest. More placid. Ve'aluvin Savlanin. Vishoni, not only that, divrehen v'divrei Beis Shammai. When they would study, they would not only quote their opinion, Beis Hillel, they would also quote the opinion of Beis Shammai. And Rashi says, kishahayu Beis Shammai mivin raya l'divrei min haTorah, when Beis Shammai brought a proof for their position from Torah, u'Beis Hillel mivin raya mimikra acher, and Beis Hillel would bring a proof from another place, v'hayu Beis Hillel darshin es hamikra shel Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel would expound upon the teaching of Beis Shammai. Lama ba, why did he bring this proof? V'lo haya kal b'neim. They didn't write off Beis Shammai's position. They took time to investigate Beis Shammai's position. They took time to understand Beis Shammai's position. They took time to look at the source that Beis Shammai quoted and see how it could prove the halacha. V'lo haya kal b'neim. They didn't write off their fellow Jew. They didn't write off their fellow posek. They didn't write off their contemporary school of thought and say, oh, you're worthless. Oh, you're nothing. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. They gave kavod to Beis Shammai. And because they were nochin, aluvin, savlanin, and because they gave kavod in their teachings, dissertations, and piskei halacha to another view, Beis Shammai, therefore, you're both right. But Hillel's a little bit more right. The halacha k'beis Hillel. Then the Gemara gives an example. Another Gemara says further, "V'lo od alosha makdimin divrei Beis Shammai the divrei." Not only that, but when they would write the tshuva, they would first quote Beis Shammai's opinion, and only then would they quote their opinion. They gave precedence to Beis Shammai. They gave kavod to Beis Shammai. The Gemara gives an example of when they quoted. I was going to go through it. I prepared to go through this whole piece of Gemara with you, but we're really starting to run out of time. It has to do with a sukkah. If somebody's in the sukkah, his head and his body, but his table's outside the sukkah, has he fulfilled the mitzvah of Leishay B'sukkah or not? So Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai each say something else, but in this teaching, the Gemara brings us to show that Beis Hillel would quote Beis Shammai's opinion before their own. And so the Gemara says, Lilam Decha, to teach you, Shakol HaMashpil Atzmo, anyone who lowers himself down. And again, it doesn't mean make yourself into Shmata. Chas v'shalom. Nobody leave the shir and think that. It means to be understanding. I'm talking to myself. Understanding. Because you didn't read the first 19 chapters. Maybe you didn't read the first 45 chapters. And you meet someone who's struggling in life, who's knocking on your door with ridiculous questions, Erev Shabbos. I'm like taking a shower. What are you doing? Who cares about the feet of the Afrikaim and the heads of the Babylonians? Seriously, this isn't what I signed up for with the Rabbanos. All we pizza at 3 o'clock in the morning. Who eats at 3 o'clock in the morning? Tzaddik, the test isn't today, it's on Friday. We don't know anything about the person's previous chapters. And even if you do, you don't. Remember, we learned that previously in this year. And Hillel says, you know, you have to lead your life like Aharon. What does it mean like Aharon? Says Rabbi Shai Schechter. Aharon was only interested in doing what was good for God. It's not enough to love peace, because in your machlokas, you think, I'm the peaceful guy. He's the kana'a. I'm right. He's wrong. That's not loving peace. That's loving yourself. If you really want to be an ohev shalom and a rodev shalom, if you really want to love people and bring them closer to Torah, you have to look at the life of Hillel and base Hillel, the Masorah he transmitted to his Talmidim. Hillel Omer, says of Salvechik, the way they live their lives is their teaching. And therefore, Lalam Decha, Shekol HaMashpil Atzmo Kosh Baruch Hu Magbiho, everyone who lowers himself down, Hashem will raise him up. But anyone who is arrogant, maybe who rises up over others, HaKosh Baruch Hu Mashpilo, Hashem will put you in your place. Kol HaMechazer Al HaGdula, anyone who searches for prominence, Gdula Borachas Mimenu, prominence will run away from you. V'chol HaBoreach Min HaGdula, but anyone who runs away from Kavod, Gdula Machazeras Acharav, prominence searches for him. Whoever forces the time, kol hadochek et hasha'ah, whoever forces the time, what does that mean? Art scroll footnote. If you are impatient with the slow progress of success and overexert yourself in an effort to succeed more quickly, doesn't work. You have to move in slow stages in Avodas Hashem. The time will force you. But whoever yields to time, know where you are in your Avodas Hashem. Take it slowly, as long as you're always working on yourself. Time will eventually halt for him. You will reach the point in time where you'll be successful in that aspect upon which you are working. For me, Ben Adam Lamakum is easier Ben Adam Mechavero. Tikkun Amidos is one of the hardest aspects of Avodas Hashem. It's a lot easier to wait 6 hours between Basra and Chalav and to be the kind of person that Hillel was, that Aaron was, that Hani Machas was. But is it doable? Like my brother said to me years ago, Micha, just because something's hard doesn't mean I shouldn't work on it. Is it doable even in our day and age? The answer is yes. Hillel Omer, Hevei mi talmidov shal Aharon, Ohev shalom, Verodev shalom, all of your sabrios, without discrimination, because you don't know anything about their lives. And only when you show love, ahava, and shalom, peace, umekarv on the Torah, you will be successful in bringing people close to Torah because they will want to emulate you, be like you, be connected to you. Ultimately, we will bring them closer to their Father in heaven. It's a lot of work. That's upon us to accomplish as much as we can. I thank everybody for learning. We thank once again Laura Huberfeld this year. She brings chusim for refuos and yeshuos to Moshe Aaron ben Rivka and Rivka Basara besoch she'ar cholei Yisrael.